Hello, ladies and gentlemen. So, this episode of the Poetic One podcast is going to be a little different. Probably ruffle some feathers, you know, maybe upset some folks. But sometimes here on the Poetic One podcast, we just got to talk about the real. And want you to really open your minds to some of these topics, because these are some real issues that we need to discuss. So, I'm gonna dive right into it. We have a very known case. We had a non-guilty verdict for Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old from Antioch, Illinois. You guys probably remember this because it's been all over the news, but this kid, this is the guy who showed up with the AR-15 rifle, semi-automatic. And he went across state lines. Went across state lines and shot three people, killed two. But let's dig a little deeper. And talk about where this even, how this came about. So, 2020 was quite the year for everybody. This incident occurred August 25th, 2020. But this is only a few months removed from the killing of George Floyd. And the protests that occurred due to the outrage of the killing of George Floyd, I mean, we all saw it. No one can deny it. People try to make up all kinds of reasons why he actually died. That he had this in his system, and he was this or that, and you know. I love it how people, when a person gets killed by the police, it's always this thing about, well, they shouldn't have resisted, or they don't commit crimes, they don't have to die. Like, that's crazy talk to me. And then they put their lives problems out there on this on full display for everybody, and it's pretty crazy when you think about it. So, the global civil rights movement that took place last summer in 2020 was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen as a black male, to see everybody standing up for not just black rights, but for human rights. That was amazing. I remember the first night of the protest for George Floyd, I was driving Lyft that night. And, you know, in my city, in Sacramento, at the time I was living in South Sac. So the place where the protest was going to be held was really not far from my house at the time. Now, I thought, you know, typically what I do is I turn the app on, and wherever the app takes me, that's where I go. If I don't have any particular place that I want to go, then I'll just turn the app and let the app tell me where to pick up. Then I finally got a ride over by, you know, a pickup either, where the protests were happening, excuse me. And I noticed it was amazing. It was people of all different ethnic backgrounds, people of all ages, particularly a lot of young people out there standing for what they believe was what they believed in, standing for what's right, standing for justice. And it was amazing. That night, at least not to my knowledge, I didn't hear anything happening, anybody. No one, it didn't appear that anyone was in danger. Matter of fact, the people that I picked up that night, they weren't black. They were, but they were there in support of the movement, and it was a beautiful thing to see. And then a few months later, let me make sure I actually, yes, a few months later, we had the shooting of Jacob Blake, 29-year-old black male. On August 23rd, 2020, he was shot, seriously injured by police, actually by one police officer, hopefully I don't butcher his name, Rustin Chesky, in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Now, he shot him in the back 4 times and 3 in the side. Wow. As he opened the door to the driver's door of his girlfriend's rented SUV. Now people will say whatever they're going to say about that particular case and about him as a person. I mean, there's some things that have come out about him, you know, about Jacob Blake. And so your opinion of him as a human being, that's up to you side, I guess. But really, the only person I can judge is God. But my point is, at the time that you witnessed the shooting on that happens on TV, you don't know anything about this man. What you see is somebody, for all intents and purposes, is defenseless. His back is to the officers. And yeah, when the police are dealing with you, you don't walk away and duck down, look like you're picking up anything. I get that. I can, the people that make that remark, then I get it. That makes sense. Because I know if I'm pulled over, I'm not reaching for nothing unless I have, you know, I'm going to let them know, hey, my hands on the wheel, hey, my wallet's in my pocket, I'm just going to get it real quick, is that okay? And then if I do, I have one hand on the wheel, they don't see me, you know, fumbling around with nothing and get freaked out. If I was on the other side of the gun, the one holding it, I probably would be as anxious if I saw somebody moving around, picking up something. So, well, let's be fair in that regard. Do I think he needed to be shot that many times? No. 7 times? No. I mean, come on. But regardless, that's so the Kenosha, Wisconsin protests came from this, August 23rd to 2020 incident. And so on. So 2 days later, August 25th, we have protests going on. And It's crazy because when you look at the Kyle Rittenhouse case, and there's so many layers to this, it's unreal. But so this is a young man, 17 years old. One, he has no business in even involved, like going across there. One, let's start off. He has no business with a gun at that age. An assault rifle? What you doing with that at that age? Now, think about this. Now, what I've read is he got the rifle from his friend being Dominic Black, and him and his friend went and joined a group of armed men who said they were there to protect businesses, particularly a car dealership that was being vandalized and provide medical aid. First of all, even at 17, I'm not putting my neck on the line for somebody else's business. That's not a thing that kids do. You know, I'm not going to go out like, so when I was 17, I used to hang out in this spot named Imperial. But all through my childhood, in San Jose, I was out there hanging out. That was the spot. We went and picked up our candy, our chips, we played video games and that, you name it. I'm not going to, and maybe this sounds selfish, but it's not my business. Yeah, it would suck. But I don't expect, like, for example, if I own that store, I don't expect somebody to put their neck on the line for me and possibly risk their own life. Now, let's just say we know Kyle Rittenhouse killed these two people, but what if one of these protesters turned around and shot him before? Let's just speak hypothetically, because we all know what happened. But let's just say Kyle Rittenhouse really just wanted to go there and scare somebody. Like, let's just hypothetically say he didn't really go there and with the intent to kill. Maybe he went there with the rifle in his hand to just scare people off. Let's go with that theory for a moment, right? Hypothetically. You're 17 years old. Yeah, you might have a gun in your hand, but realistically, you're not equipped. AR-15 rifle notwithstanding, you're not equipped to deal with the ramifications of you showing up to a crowd of pissed off people, not knowing who all is there, what they're capable of, and what they're armed with. You're not equipped to deal with that, with those ramifications. And for all intents and purposes, somebody could have had a weapon and shot him. And he could have been killed just for what they say, him standing up for protecting a business that you probably never even stepped a foot in. Think about that for a second. Now let's get into reality. It's the fact that he showed up, he was actually driven there by his mother. That's another red flag to me. Your mother. One, what's the mom thinking about? What's she thinking about? Driving your son? Like, I can't even fathom driving my kid to a street fight, to any fight, let alone a protest or a riot. I mean, who did she think her kid was? Terminator? And I'm not saying that jokingly, because obviously we know what happened to those two people who were killed. But my point is, what you don't like when you see the videos of Kyle Rittenhouse walking around in the streets of Wisconsin with that gun, you don't see his mama. Where was she at? Did she drop him off and then go back and go to the salon? Like, where'd she go? I'm curious to know. Maybe somebody knows, has that answer, and I don't know. But my point is this. Your son could have been killed out there. I know that people are outraged at Kyle Rittenhouse and the things he did. He should be behind bars right now. I don't care what anybody says. But let's look at the optics here. This is still a minor at the time. A kid. He's still a kid. Lady, your kid could have been killed. Your kid could have been the one killed. Where the hell were you? Your job as a parent is to protect your child, not put him in the middle of a war zone, if you will, because he did get hurt. We saw the video. We're not going to sit here and act like, oh, everybody, there were people just idly standing by and nobody did nothing to him. No, people jumped him and hit him with a skateboard. We've seen that. So if your defense of him is, he was defending himself because he got hit with a skateboard. Maybe I gave you that. Because at this point, if you're getting hit with a weapon, you gotta get people off you. Otherwise, you might get beat to death. Like, okay, let's look at it like that for a second. But he shouldn't have been there in the first place. And we're going to touch on that part of it later. But he shouldn't have been there. There's no way he should have been there. And I think that's the most troubling part about this whole thing is, at the time, I had a 17-year-old. And I would have been just horrified if I'd have found out that my 17-year-old was walking around with an assault rifle in a whole nother city, state. Yeah, that's not how we raise our kids to be. You know, now let's take a detour, if you will. If we were to say, hey, son, I'm going to teach you how to shoot. So when I go to work, talking about in a man's, you know, man's role, for example, I'm going to teach you how to use this weapon for emergency purposes only. If somebody comes in here and it's just you, your mom, and your sisters, then you got to stand up. If I'm not here and I'm out of town, whatever. I can understand that a little bit more. If somebody comes on your property and messes with your mom, your sister, and, you know, that's different. And if he would have shot somebody on his property because his mom was getting threatened, getting hurt, whatever, I wouldn't say a word. I don't care if the perpetrators are black. He's protecting his family. But that's not what happened. He went all the way across state lines into a place that he really had nothing to do with him. Like, he should have sat that one out, because he'll always be known as the person who killed two people. Now, I remember watching the videos and watching him walk by law enforcement with a gun in his hand. And they didn't say nothing to him. Like, he literally just walked by. It was crazy. Now, there was a few confrontations, they say. I think all of them are on video. Now, Rittenhouse and Rosenbaum, they were the ones in the first confrontation. And so Rostam Bauman, let me make sure I say his name so you guys know who I'm talking about. I apologize. Joseph Rosenbaum, okay. And I hope I'm saying his name right. Joseph Rosenbaum and Rittenhouse. So they got into the first confrontation when the protesters were moving towards Rittenhouse. So they tried to invade him. Rosenbaum tried to engage Rittenhouse, who avoided this by sidestepping and running away. Rittenhouse testified that now in the trial, he testifies that he had threatened to kill him, that Rosenbaum had threatened to kill him. Now, according to the FBI footage that was taken at an overhead airplane, what they saw was a shooting of Russell Baum and the events immediately preceding it. Rittenhouse was being pursued across a parking lot by a group of people. Russell Baum threw a plastic bag containing socks, underwear, and deodorant at, I don't know why he threw that. What damage was that really going to do? But sorry, let me take my personal opinion out of that. A bystander named Joseph Zeminski fired a shot in the air. And then Rittenhouse stopped running and turned towards the sound of the shot. Rittenhouse testified at trial that prior to being chased, Russell Baum, he heard another man tell Russell Baum to get him and kill him. Also knew Rosenbaum was unarmed. He testified that he aimed his gun at Rosenbaum to deter him from pursuing him further. Witnesses for the prosecution testified at the trial that Rosenbaum engaged Rittenhouse and tried to take his rifle from him. Now, Rittenhouse fired 4 rounds. Russell Baum hitting him hitting his groin, back, and left hand. Bullets they went to his heart, aorta, pulmonary artery, and right lung. Fractured his pelvis and caused minor wounds to his left eye and forehead. Now, I did hear about this when he was on the phone with his friends, and he just killed somebody as he's running away. But that kid, Russell Baum, he died not long after that. And there was another confrontation. So then, Gage Gross. You know what? I'm not gonna butcher this person's name, but this person, he testified saying he was filming a protest as a legal observer for the American Civil Liberties Union on Facebook live stream shortly before midnight. He heard the gunshots at the south and observed Rittenhouse running in his direction on Sheridan Road. He ran alongside Rittenhouse and asked, "Hey, what are you doing? Can you shoot somebody?" Protesters were heard on 2 different videos yelling, "Beat him up. Hey, he shot him. And get him. Get that dude." One individual struck Rittenhouse, knocking his cap off. Shortly after which, Rittenhouse tripped and fell to the ground. Others shouted, "What'd he do? Just shot someone. Get his ass." While he was on the ground, one of the men in pursuit jump kicked Rittenhouse, who fired twice but missed the man. Another protester, Anthony Huber, made contact with Rittenhouse's left shoulder with the skateboard. Okay, that's the part that I remember seeing on the video, was the skateboard part, as the pair struggled control of the gun. As Huber was pulling on the rifle, Rittenhouse fired once, hitting Huber in the chest. his heart and lung, and right lung, excuse me, causing his rapid death. Oof, this is gruesome. I mean, I saw the video, but then when you read it out loud like that, it just, oof. Wow. Now that same guy, gross Kratz. I apologize if anybody, if their family ever hears this and I butcher the name, my apologies. But so after that happened, he did testify that that Rittenhouse was the executor, and he testified in court. So he had an expired concealed carry permit for a handgun and was carrying a Glock pistol. Excuse me. Gage. I'm gonna call him Gage because that's his first name, and I know I can't get that wrong. He approached Rittenhouse. He was on the ground, but stopped and put his hands up after Hoover was shot. Gage then pointed his handgun and advanced on Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse shot him in the arm, severing most of his right bicep muscle. Wow. At least 16 gunshots from other sources were heard on video during the time Rittenhouse was on the ground. Here's another part that I saw on the video. Rittenhouse got back to his feet, walked towards the police with his hands up and a rifle strapped across his chest. Several police officers testified during the trial that they were responding to an active shooter incident and did not recognize that Rittenhouse was the shooter. He was repeatedly told to get out of the road, and when he continued to advance, one cop attempted to pepper spray him. Several witnesses and protesters had shouted for Rittenhouse to be arrested. When asked at the press conference why Rittenhouse was not stopped, Kenosha Sheriff David Beth said, in situations that are high stress, let me quote, in situations that are high stress, you have such incredible tunnel vision, end quote. And imply officers may not have realized he had been involved in the shooting. Likewise, Kenosha Police Chief Daniel Miskinis, hope I didn't butcher that name either, said that, quote, there was nothing to suggest this individual was involved in any criminal behavior, end quote. Due to the fact that someone walking toward the police with their hands up was no longer abnormal in the wake of a protest. Now, let me stop right there. You mean to tell me that a person, for one, you can tell this person is young. Look at his face. I mean, even now, it's been over a year now since that happened. Look at Kyle Rittenhouse now. He's still a kid. Like, I look at him right now, and yeah, I see somebody who killed somebody, but I also see a child. You're telling me that you could look at that young man and see that he's a child? So, now you gotta, just the eye test. He's a child walking around. First of all, the gun itself. That should immediately make you stop. Because if it was me walking around with any kind of gun, I'd have had guns drawn on me. And if I wasn't shot, I would have been brought to the ground. But they walked past him. And I saw that on the video. I was disgusted. Like, are you kidding me? This guy can walk around and speak freely, just walking around. Like, I thought that was just really disgusting. And it's sad, you know? people tell us, you know, racism doesn't exist, and black people are always saying that, acting like victims, and saying all that. How are we not supposed to think? How are we not supposed? What else are we supposed to think? Think of, like, what else are we supposed to think? I mean, really? So, this guy was walking around with a rifle, an AR-15. First of all, what kid has that? And was never stopped. Yet, Tamir Rice, who was a 12-year-old boy, black kid, I might add, from Cleveland, Ohio, killed instantly. And what was Tamir Rice doing, you might ask? Carrying a replica toy gun. They said that the police shot him almost immediately after arriving on the scene. Really? Didn't ask no questions. Just shot him. And yet this guy got to walk around with a gun, a rifle on his chest. There's so much to go over in this case. But I want to jump ahead. I'm going to go to the verdict, because it's important to understand everything that all the charges that he was actually charged. We all know by now, he's been acquitted, cleared of all, not acquitted. Acquitted, and he was cleared of all charges. Acquitted wasn't the word I was thinking about at the moment. I was reading this headline and acquitted, but I was trying to read the headline. Excuse me, but he was cleared. Kyle Rittenhouse cleared of all charges. Now, according to the Associated Press, he was charged with first-degree intentional homicide, not guilty, attempted first-degree intentional homicide, not guilty, first-degree reckless homicide, not guilty, first-degree recklessly endangering safety, not guilty. First degree recklessly endangering safety, not guilty. And then they just put that on there twice. Come on, suspect. Did I read that wrong? Okay, anyway. Now, let's look at the counts. Let's break it down. First degree reckless homicide, use of a dangerous weapon. This felony charge was connected to the death of Joseph Rosenbaum, the first man Rittenhouse shot. Bystander video shows Rosenbaum chasing Rittenhouse through a parking lot and throwing a plastic bag at him. Rittenhouse flees behind a car and Rosenbaum follows. Video introduced at trial showed Rittenhouse wheeling around and firing Rosenbaum as Rosenbaum chased him. Richie McGinnis, a reporter who was trailing Rittenhouse, testified that Rosenbaum lunged for Rittenhouse's gun. So, reckless homicide differs from intentional homicide in that the prosecutors weren't alleging that Rittenhouse intended to murder Rosenbaum. Instead, they were alleging that Rittenhouse caused Rosenbaum's death in circumstances showing an utter disregard for human life. Now, I didn't watch the video of the trial, so I can't judge like that. But if I'm going by what the Associated Press is saying, shame on the prosecution. Because I mean, I look at this like, and this is just my biased opinion. I don't want to say biased because I don't know those people. But I guess the reason why I say biased is because I look at, this is a kid with a gun going across state lines. Automatically, anything else that happens after that, you're responsible for because you already committed a crime first and foremost by even doing that. And now, people are dead because of you. I don't know, I look at that and I'm just, well, let me read some more of these counts. Let me break this down some more, maybe. First degree, recklessly endangering safety, used of dangerous weapon. This felony charge was connected to the Rosenbaum shooting. McGinnis told investors he was in the line of fire when Rittenhouse shot Rosenbaum. The charge would have been punishable by 12 and a half years of prison. Weapons modifier carried an additional 5 years. Okay. Count three. First degree, recklessly endangering safety. Use of dangerous weapon. Video shows an unknown man leaping at Rittenhouse, trying to kick him seconds before Anthony Hoover moves his skateboard toward him. Rittenhouse appears to fire two rounds at the man, but apparently misses as the man runs away. This charge is a felony punishable by 12 and a half years in prison. Weapons modifier again would have added up to 5 more years. This kid was looking to do some serious time if he was convicted. So that was charge number three. Charge number four. First degree intentional homicide use of a dangerous weapon. This charge was in Huber's death. Video shows Rittenhouse running down the street after shooting Rosenbaum when he falls to the street. Hoover leaps at him, swings a skateboard at his head and neck, tries to grab Rittenhouse's gun before Rittenhouse fires. Criminal complaint alleged Rittenhouse aimed the weapon at Hoover. Intentional homicide means just that. A person kills someone and meant to do it. A conviction would have meant a mandatory life sentence. Weapons modifier would have added up to 5 years. The jury was also given the option of a second degree intentional homicide and first degree reckless homicide in Hoover's case. Second degree intentional homicide would have been punishable by up to 60 years in prison. The first degree reckless homicide charge sought in Hoover's death matched an original charge in Rosenbaum's death. And it would have required jurors to decide that Rittenhouse caused Hoover's death with an utter disregard for human life and would have been punishable by up to 60 years in prison. Count number five, attempted first degree intentional homicide, use of a dangerous weapon. This was the charge for Rittenhouse shooting Gage Grosskreutz. I know I butchered his name. I apologize. In the arm, seconds after he shot Hoover and Gage, I'm going to call him Gage because that last name I am struggling with, came toward him holding a pistol. Gage survived. Video shows Rittenhouse pointing his gun at Gage and firing a single round. The charge carries a maximum sentence of 60 years. The weapons modifier would have added 5 more years. The jury also was given the option of considering second-degree attempted intentional homicide and first-degree reckless endangerment charges. Possible punishment for attempted second-degree intentional homicide is 30 years. Attempted first-degree reckless endangerment is punishable by up to 12 and a half years. Okay. Count 6. Possession of a dangerous weapon by a person under 18. Okay, I'm interested in this. As a father, I'm very interested in this. The judge dismissed this charge. Rittenhouse was armed with the AR-style semi-automatic rifle. He was a 17-year-old on the night of the shootings. Wisconsin law prohibits minors from possessing firearms except for hunting or when supervised by an adult in target practice or instruction in the proper use of a dangerous weapon. Rittenhouse's attorney argued that another subsection of the law regarding short barrel rifles provided grounds for dismissing the charge. Prosecutors argued the defense was misreading the stat. They were misreading it, and Schroeder had earlier twice declined to dismiss the charge. But the judge also had said that it was confusing. After prosecutors conceded that the rifle was not short-barreled, Schroeder dismissed the charge. Wow. Let me read that. I gotta look at that again. Wow. That's amazing. Count seven is failure to comply with emergency order from state or local government. Okay. I didn't know about this one. Rittenhouse was charged with being out in the streets after 8 p.m. curfew imposed by the city, a minor offense that carries a fine of up to $200, excuse me. The judge dismissed this charge during the trial, saying the prosecution didn't offer enough evidence to prove. Wow. Wow. Okay. So, this is a lot to digest. We all know that the judge was crooked. I mean, we either saw it or we read about it. But this judge went on there and said that we couldn't even refer to the people that were killed as victims. Call them rioters. Call them anything. All the negative stuff, but couldn't call them victims. Isn't that something? I'm gonna take a brief break here. I gotta digest that. I'm gonna take a break and be back with more on the Poetic One podcast. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I am back. Whew. Had to take a moment to reflect on what I just read. This is wow. So, cleared of all charges. He gets to walk free after killing 2 people. And, I mean, there's outrage across the nation. Not everybody's outraged. Some people are defending this. I know I was upset. I'm still upset. Because we literally watched a 12-year-old boy get gunned down for having a toy gun. Are we gonna say, oh, well, we don't know what happened before the video? Are we gonna say that? Are we gonna say, oh, but he had a checkered past? Really? He's fucking 12. Really? But yeah, this guy literally got driven to another state that he didn't even live in. Being underage with an assault rifle. You went there for a purpose. Let me tell you something. You don't go nowhere armed unless you are prepared to use that. And you certainly don't brandish it. You certainly don't show it to people unless you're prepared to use it. So I don't buy this theory or this thought that people, or excuse that people might try to make. Oh, he was just going there to defend the property that people were damaging. Later for that. I won't hear none of that. Let me go get a gun and go walk around the streets and see if you're still able to have a conversation with me afterwards. I guarantee you I'll either be in jail or in a box. I was so upset, I decided, you know, I'm gonna write. Because writing, I normally get my frustrations out the way they need to be. And so I decided I'm gonna write to alleviate some of this frustration. And I decided to write a poem. And since this is the Poetic One podcast, I'm going to share it. Now, you gotta look at this in the eyes of every American that cares about human decency, but look at this from the perspective of a black male who knows that he can't get away with the same act, this very same act would have got us that those 60 years I read in the previous segment. We would have got all of that, probably got double. Or we'd be dead. So I'm going to read the poem I wrote. It's just, I was upset and I needed to get it out. And I'd rather write this than go out and do something stupid. So I wrote. The poem is called No Justice, Just Us. Is it justice or just us that get time if the gun busts, petty theft or weed busts? We need answers now. We need to discuss. Built on hostility, this country was founded on hatred and bigotry. No. So really, it's no surprise, quite literally, saw this verdict coming, but doesn't mean it's not a travesty. The world is getting ugly. The details of this story make me want to get some folks mental health treatment in a hurry. If you could condone a child killing people in the streets, then I pray to the Lord that he has mercy when your heart ceases to beat. Because it'll be a bumpy road where your soul and the Lord meet. Those crossroads might feel different when those words you'll have to eat. Say you're not racist, then you're lying through your teeth. You support white supremacy. It's aligned with your beliefs. So let's get this straight. A child carries a gun in his mother's car. She drives him across state lines in the dark. Then he shoots 3 people, killing 2. And it kills me. Self-defense is actually a point of view. Listen. You never should have been there, didn't live in that county. Underage with a gun should have been locked up in the county. Many laws broken. A little justice we were hoping. But right on cue, our justice system proves it's truly broken. Not guilty on all charges was the verdict. And if the kid looked like me, he'd be in a cell with no key to open it. Or a pine box. Because that's always our destination. The womb to the tomb since our very creation. This verdict is tragic, leaving the victims' families in devastation. Makes me wonder what the jury discussed at deliberation. But it don't really matter. In our system, we don't trust. Because there's really no justice unless it's about us. Now those words that I wrote, they're from the heart. They were out of anger. But it was real. Now people are saying, why are you talking about white supremacy? Well, let me explain why. We cannot get away with those same things. Ask anybody around. I have plenty of white friends who will tell you this. Who will tell you, yeah, we don't have those issues. We don't know what you go through. We sympathize. And I have some really good people in my life who are white that are not racist. And they empathize, they sympathize. They don't know the struggle that black and brown people have to deal with. And so then the people that, there are people who don't understand, who want to have sympathy for us or whatever, but then, and want to support us in our movement, but some people don't understand. As soon as you start talking about white supremacy, they don't understand. Well, think about it. Do you know of any other race that can get away with things that white people get away with? Because I don't. It's actually pretty sad. Pretty sad. But we even have to call it that. But that's what it is. In fact, I'm going to read you the definition so that no one is thinking I'm making up stuff. So it's actually defined in dictionary. So the definition of white supremacy is the belief that the white race is inherently superior to other races and that white people should have control over people of other races. The alt-right is a reactionary conservative movement. Okay. We don't need to go into the right and the left and all that stuff. But my point is, supreme authority or power. We don't have that power. A power to get off from committing murder. No, just the power to get off from having a gun. You know how many hip hop artists have gone to jail because of a gun charge? Because of weed possession? Regular people been put away because of that same stuff, who probably still on probation, and yet this guy has an AR-15, killed people. And you can make the argument that the people attacked him, yada yada yada. Think about this. I'll give you that. Okay? Let's, for the sake of healthy conversation, I'll give you that. If they attacked him. But think about this. If you see somebody with a gun coming towards you, your first instinct either is to run away or disarm him. if you don't dis, if you run away, he could just shoot a bunch of people, you know. If you can, if somebody can disarm him, the chances of a bunch of people getting killed or any casualties at all, you know, the percentage is way lower. But so you can look at it from that perspective too. It's just really sad that we've come to this where we're actually defending people who have killed you. Like, you committed a crime. Like, you went, you're in possession, illegally in possession of a gun. So what happens with that? So is he allowed to keep the gun that he illegally possessed and kill people with? What happens to that gun? I would like to know that. I'm not a legal beagle. I don't know everything, but I do think that there's more questions that need to be answered with that. And I've seen some of the politicians singing his praises. You know, I seen Matt Gaetz. I think he tweeted something, said something about offering him an internship, and I think Tucker Carlson from Fox. He had an interview. Now, I haven't watched the interview yet, so I can't really speak on the interview and what was said in it. But I can imagine if it's on Fox, and we know this kid was there in opposition of the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that was going on in concert with that movement. So, and I say that because I'm like, we're not going to pretend that there was no looting. We're not going to pretend there was no, you know, riots. But there was a lot more protesting going on than people want to give them credit for. But all that was in lieu. All that was, you know, at the same time, all that was happening. So he was in very much in opposition to that. So, of course, if it's on Fox, they're going to handle that with kid gloves. I already know it. I don't even have to look at the interview to know that. But I'll probably check it out at some point when I want to make myself irritated. But I still think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. Here's a question, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Here's a question. Did the prosecution do enough? Like I said, I didn't follow it and watch every second of the trial that came on TV or anything like that. But that's just a question. You know, just reading what I've read from the Associated Press, it makes you wonder. Did they do enough? Was there some flaws in their case? Keep in mind, you're also dealing with a corrupt judge. You should be impeached. It wasn't a fair trial. When you go in with your mind made up that the people that died aren't really victims, I mean, right away, you saw what was going to happen with this case the second he uttered that out of his mouth. And that's sad. I don't know what's the biggest. I don't know. I don't even know what the bigger crime is. And that's sad to say. If it's Kyle Rittenhouse is what he did, or this judge actually still having a seat in any kind of courtroom. It's pretty pathetic. Pretty sickening. You talk about a miscarriage of justice. This right here is the epitome of that. Right there. It's hard for me to put myself in that kid's shoes and think, oh, he was just being, you know, he was just standing up for what he thought was right. Isn't that what everybody believes in? He went across state lines. Gotta look at that. Look at it like that. He already committed a crime. Going across state lines with a rifle that was not his. Broke curfew, because in that state, 8 p.m. is the curfew. They say they can't prove it. Okay, though, well, they said that this thing was filmed by a helicopter video. What time did the helicopter video say? Nobody looked at that. You mean tell me you couldn't prove that? It's easily provable. People who were shooting live on Facebook, that couldn't be proved? Really? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, technology being what it is in 2020 at the time, and even now in 2021, you're telling me you couldn't have figured out that this guy was in a place past 8 p.m. being a minor? Like, you're lying. Why? Unbelievable. All right. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to... I wrote again. I kind of talked about myself. But I was still kind of irritated. But I just thought, you know, this case really just made me think about, if I had a gun, what would be the consequence of me having that gun? You know, I always talk about, I tell people, I'm very open about it. I say, if I had a gun, it wouldn't be a good thing, because I do not feel I'm responsible enough. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I always will say that I'm a work in progress, and I'm an open book, so I don't care if people want to judge me by saying this, but I know my temperament. I'm a good dude. I don't go looking for problems, but I also know I do have a quick temper if somebody pushed the wrong button, and it wouldn't be a good thing for me to have a weapon. It just wouldn't be. It would be stupid of me, knowing that I could get upset to have one. I gotta get me right before I can take on such a huge responsibility. But I'm man enough to own up to that and admit, hey, you're not ready. It'd be a good idea to have one for protection, but realistically, hey, you're not ready. I could be honest with myself about it. But there's so many other reasons why I don't feel like I should be having one. But what I did was I wrote another poem. That's right. This is the Poetic One Podcast. You did tune in to the Poetic One Podcast. And I hear at the Poetic One Podcast, we read poetry from time to time. And so I wrote another poem. I'm going to share it with you. It's called If I Had a Gun. I don't freak out, but I keep it real. I keep it all the way real with my poetry. So my poetry is very deep. Here we go. If I had a gun. The rules of the game of life ain't fair, they're rigged. The next misstep might be the grave you dig. And with the odds stacked, nobody believes in facts. Hard not to blow my stack. The ghetto just has me trapped. Despite moving far away, I stay in that mind state. With my temperament, I'd probably increase the crime rate. My heart's heavy. Mental at times is scary. I'm the last one you want to see heated heaven. All about my family, the aura I embody, and I'll defend vigorously like Scottie on Barkley. My kids mean the world, so I can't let my emotions outsmart me. Out of my right mind, like evil took over my body. I'm a little older, so I can't be acting like a rookie. Have my future plans crumbled like Oreo cookies. Unfortunately, for those that refuse to see, I can't freely carry a gun without the high beams on me. If I had a gun, the harsh reality, I'd probably be killed with no chance to cop a plea. I can't say self-defense or claim a good deed because my skin color says guilty. That's all the system needs. It's not a lie. You know? It's not a lie. I live that all the time. If I walk around with a 9mm handgun, I'm more than likely gonna get shot. And anything that I've ever done in life, it'll get blasted all over the news. Oh, he got into a fight at school when he was 17. Oh, he shoplifted. He did this. He did that. He cursed out somebody at a store, like with the most ugliest picture of me on display. You know it happens. It happens all the time. This is facts. This isn't assumptions. You can't tell me I'm assuming stuff. I live this kind of stuff. You can't tell me I'm exaggerating or I'm hallucinating or I'm imagining things. I can't imagine what I live. What I live through. You gotta look at it like that. You know, I might not have all the answers, I'll grant you that. I don't know every white person in the world. I don't know every Asian, Indian, Black. I won't ever claim to be. But it's very obvious that there are people who do get away with things a lot easier than minorities. And it's sad because not every white person is like that. And believes in that and subscribes to that. But unfortunately, when it comes to the justice system, it's very flawed. Hell, even white people would tell you that it's flawed. Excuse the noise in the background. My daughter's getting herself some food. But, I don't know, folks. I think there's a lot of work to do. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. Don't care what nationality we are. We got work to do in this country, for real. We need equality, period. And I'm not just talking about for my people. We need equality across the board. These people that were killed by Kyle Rittenhouse, they weren't Black. They're white. And, you know, they deserve justice too. Their families deserve to see justice. And it's sad that those families lost loved ones at night. And the person that killed them, scot-free. Like, not even one charge were they guilty of. That's a miscarriage of justice. I mean, y'all couldn't even get them for the 8 p.m. curfew violation? Really? Y'all couldn't get him for the possession of an illegal firearm? It wasn't registered to him. Y'all couldn't get him for that? Miscarriage of justice. You couldn't get him for carrying a weapon across state lines? Another miscarriage of justice. And the mama. Where's CPS at? Where's CPS when you really need them? So, anybody that says, oh, CPS can't get involved, bullshit. You champion this? You co-sign this? A mother taking her minor child armed with an assault rifle to a riot? Because that's what, you know, everybody wants to call it. It's a riot. It's a protest. Whatever your opinion of it is, you're basically taking your kid to a place where he could possibly have been killed. Hell, the cops could have shot him. Mom ever think about that? What did the mom know nothing's going to happen to her boy by the cops? Because, what, because he's white? Did she have that thinking? I mean, come on. My point in talking about that is, why isn't the mom being questioned more? Like, well, where was CPS? Like, there's no reason a minor should have been put in that situation in the first place. A minor shouldn't even be making those decisions. And the second that he said, Mom, please take me to Wisconsin so I can help defend the, you should have been like, hell no. Ain't taking you nowhere. Where the hell you get that gun? Put that shit away. But nope. He didn't do that. Travesty, folks. And whether you believe Kyle Rittenhouse is guilty or innocent, it's still a tragedy. It's a travesty. And the real travesty is our justice system. Because they couldn't get him on no counts. If you're going to say that he was acting in the act of self-defense because he was being attacked and chased and all that other stuff, I'll give you 10% of that. All right, I'll give you a little bit, you know. I'll agree with you just like 10%. Because he shouldn't have, because I still maintain that stance, he shouldn't have been there. But that's how I feel. If I go to a gang neighborhood with a knife, for example, knowing that this is a very dangerous neighborhood gang, knowing that if I go there looking the way I do, I'm not a small person. If I go there looking the way I do, and they see me, and they happen to see, like, I got a knife, you know, some of the things where you can put, show that you have a knife, or you can hold them in your, or whatever. I'm walking around with a knife, and they come after me because they see I got a weapon, and I kill one of them. One of the first things that I'm going to be asked is, why did you go over there? So I don't really have a defense. I can say anything, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get off the way this kid did. That's the point that people are trying to make, is it's not fair. The justice system is flawed. It needs to be fixed. Yeah, he definitely killed those people. We saw it. And it's a shame. It's a travesty that he hasn't been convicted or anything. He got off. The real travesty is our justice system. It needs to be fixed. And it's a shame that people like this don't walk the streets and hang out with politicians. That's sickening. And actually be called a hero. A hero. We got a long way to go, folks, before we have real justice, real equality in our country. I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime, but hopefully one day it'll happen. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. The Poetic One podcast. It's been a pleasure, as always, to bring you content and like I said, we need change. I know this podcast isn't going to necessarily bring that change, but maybe it at least opens somebody's heart and ears and their mind to a different perspective. I don't know. Whatever side of the spectrum you're on, if you tuned in, thank you. Poetic One Podcast. Until next time.